Several weeks ago, I was approached by a member here who asked if he might be allowed to speak today in honor of the Veterans Day holiday. And thinking that I would be at the parish retreat most of the weekend and had recently had a really loaded schedule, it seemed that a break from weekly preaching would be a fine idea. Then we scheduled the baptisms of the three beautiful Jackson girls. And I thought, you know, I really do love baptisms and preaching on days where we acknowledge God's crashing into our world in this sacrament and making the ordinary holy. And then, just last Sunday, a very disturbed individual walked into a worship service in Texas and opened fire, killing 26 worshipers. And I knew I needed to be the one to preach today. Word was spread through email that I would bring comfort and reassurance to you all by preaching today. And I'm sorry, but I don't think I can do that. But what I can bring to you is hope. Our world is a mess. We are divided in ways that I have not experienced in my lifetime. And I would love to tell you that everything is going to be just fine. That there will be no more acts of violence perpetrated on innocent people anywhere. But you would see straight through that falsity. And I would love to be able to assure you that nothing horrible will ever happen here at Grace. And while in my deepest yearning, I hope that is true, I cannot promise you that. But what I have to offer you is the hope given in the good news of God, which is revealed in Jesus Christ. At times of pain and sadness and uncertainty, we want to yell out, "Where is God? Why did the God who created all that is and was and is to be not come and step in and stop this?" Our faith, mustard seed sized as it may be, is at least enough for us to believe that God could intervene. And so we ask or we rail at God, why? And I would love to be able to answer that question for you and for me and for all of humanity. But I can't. Since the beginning of time, this question has been posed to God, who can seem particularly distant. So we, ever looking for cause and effect relationship, decided that if God has not prevented traumatic events, then God must be the cause of these traumatic events. And we have so thoroughly subscribed to this notion that we even name certain uncontrollable events acts of God. That designation must leave God weeping. Why would God send earthquakes or floods or fires or tornadoes to destroy good people's lives? These are not acts of God. In many instances, they're quite possibly the result of acts of people, consciously or unconsciously, those things done or left undone. And still, while these are not acts caused by God to harm God's people, God is still very much present. So much of our world today mirrors earlier times in the 20th century in the God is dead movement. God is not dead, and God is not absent. God has not left everything up to us, although God has very much invited us to join with God in partnership for the care of the world and for each other. We must not despair and be as those with no hope, but we shall always watch and expect the inbreaking of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Our gospel reading today from Matthew is another of Jesus' Kingdom of Heaven parables. The kingdom of heaven will be like this, Jesus begins. He describes 10 bridesmaids, 5 of whom are wise and 5 of whom are foolish. The wise bridesmaids took their lamps filled with oil and took extra oil just in case. The foolish took their lamps. The bridegroom was delayed, and which the wise bridesmaids must have anticipated, as they all fell asleep. So far, this is all going along fairly smoothly. We know it won't go particularly well for the foolish bridesmaids, because Jesus told us from the beginning that they are foolish. And when Jesus names you as foolish, it cannot go well. But from this point forward, the story gets a little more dicey, as is so often the case with a parable. The bridesmaids all wake up, and the wise ones begin to get their lamps ready. And the foolish ones, realizing their mistake, ask the wise bridesmaids to help them. And they refuse. What? Aren't we supposed to share? Couldn't they have just said, "Stand here by me. You can use the light from my lamp"? Wouldn't that be the Christian thing to do? Yes, it would. But then the parable wouldn't make the point Jesus is trying to make. The foolish bridesmaids leave to get more oil, and while they're gone, the bridegroom comes, brings the wise bridesmaids into the banquet, locks the door, and refuses to let the foolish bridesmaids in when they return, which seems really harsh if we forget that this is a parable and try and turn it into a literal event. And what are we to make of this parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids? That, as Jesus says, we are to keep awake? Well, yes, of course. But what does that mean? All the bridesmaids had gone to sleep, foolish and wise. And yet Jesus says, keep awake. Be aware. Be prepared. Yes, that too. After a long time in that dark night of waiting for the bride and groom to return, the bridesmaids could have determined that the bridegroom had deserted them and was not coming at all. They could have said, something has happened. The bridegroom is dead. He's not coming. There is no hope. And they could have gone on with their lives despairing, but they did not. They waited and they watched, and the bridegroom did come and was there with them. Do not despair. God is not absent. We are not left as those without hope. God is very much present and very much crashing into our world and making the everyday and ordinary holy. In just a minute, we're going to be reminded of that in a very real and visible way when water, straight from the tap of the sacristy, will become a holy sign of God's movement in the lives of Cambry and Callie and Mia Jackson. And when oil is placed on their foreheads, it becomes a clear and visible sign that they are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever, no matter what. And God will come to us a little later in this service and change the ordinary bread and wine brought out of God's creation into the extraordinary gifts of God for the people of God. Those are sacramental moments in our shared life together in which God is very much present and active and joining our ordinary lives with the divine life of God. Sacraments are very much visible and present here, but they're not relegated solely to our shared life in this sacred space. Sacraments happen each time God moves in the world by making holy that which is ordinary. As our outline of faith or our catechism describes, a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Sacramental moments happen all the time when our world is shaped and molded by God and by God's people acting in the world in a way that models the love of Christ in and for the world. Life is not predictable. The world is not predictable. But God is predictable. And God will be with us to love us and carry us through even the toughest times. God comes crashing into our world time and again, making the ordinary holy and bringing us into a closer relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Keep awake. Pay attention. Amen.